We are back on Get Up, and Drew Brees is facing backlash from around the world of sports and beyond after his controversial comments to Yahoo Finance. Brees was asked about the possibility of players kneeling again when the NFL season starts. This was yesterday. This is what he said.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
That was part of what he said yesterday. A criticism was coming from across the world of sports, including from perhaps his best-known teammate, Michael Thomas, tweeting, "He don't know no better," and then tweeting, "We don't care if you don't agree, and whoever else, how about that?" Steven Jackson posted this reaction to Instagram after seeing those tweets from Michael Thomas.
Shout out Michael Thomas, man. Way to hold Drew Brees accountable, Mike. I don't give a damn if he throw you all them touchdowns. Hold his accountable. Wrong, bad timing, Drew Brees. Bad timing, bro. All right? You play for New Orleans and you live in New Orleans. All them black people in New Orleans that support you, Drew Brees, you got to be a little bit more sensitive to the timing, bro. You can't just be saying about your Yeah, you should understand. But y'all got to hold all y'all white teammates accountable, bro. All that You know what I'm saying? We got to end that now. Ain't no straddling the fence. All right? Y'all got to check y'all teammates. Michael Thomas, I salute you, bro. Drew Brees. Way to check his If you ain't down with us, then, hey, you on the other side. All that friends and acting like you support us, acting like you really down with us, we ain't buying that All that half-ass supporting us, we ain't down with that. The same you half-ass supporting is the same you throwing them passes to that make you get all these goddamn yards.
So that was just a little sample of some of the reaction that was out there yesterday. Now, within the last hour, Drew Brees posted a lengthy apology on Instagram. If you're just joining us, this was what he wrote. "I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I've caused. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth and is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. This is where I stand. I stand with the black community in the fight against systemic racial injustice and police brutality and support the creation of real policy change that will make a difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout our black communities and still exists today. I acknowledge that we as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community. I recognize that I am part of the solution and can be a leader for the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I've always been an ally, never an enemy. I'm sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I'm very sorry, and I ask your forgiveness." We have coverage this morning from our NFL insider, Diana Russini, who is very well connected with the New Orleans Saints. And Diana, good morning. I know you've spoken to a lot of players and others in the organization. What can you tell us about the state of the Saints right now?
Yeah, Greeny, it's been an emotional 24 hours for this team. Talking to players yesterday before this apology came out, there was a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. Players that didn't want to give me quotes. They didn't want to keep adding fuel to the fire. Although a lot of these players, guys that I know, love Drew Brees as a teammate, were out on Twitter yesterday sharing their opinions, thoughts, liking comments, very anti-Drew Brees' comments and statements. So here we are now. Drew Brees puts out this statement. Players that I've spoken to say they're proud of what he said. They believe in his words. The sentiments have changed. Now, I obviously have not spoken to every single member of this team, But I did speak to the head coach, Sean Payton, who also agrees he is proud of Drew's statement at this time, the apology that he put out. Now, the team does have a meeting later today. This was a meeting that was planned. This was not because of yesterday's statements and all the war of words that were taking place on social media. This was something that was already planned and discussed. And I'm told the meeting is obviously going to shift. This isn't going to be about football. This is going to be a healthy conversation that we've seen all around the NFL. And Greeny, I can tell you, I cover this team very closely. You don't know every single secret that goes on. You don't know what happens behind closed doors. But I have seen this team go through a lot of trouble, problems. We've obviously seen them lose games together. And even when it's been challenging, even when it's been difficult, even when there can be pointing and blame, it is very difficult to get this team to turn on each other because they take a lot of pride in sticking together. So I'm going to assume that this conversation is going to be healthy. I don't think it's going to change everything, but I do think the first step here is going to be for them to all come together and to start having a very healthy discussion. As we've seen all around the league, these team meetings have really, really educated and changed the minds of a lot of players and teams and coaches. As everyone is trying to figure out how to get better, educate, reflect, and listen.
It was an extraordinary day yesterday to the extent that you rarely, if ever, see high-profile players on a team publicly criticizing the highest-profile player on their own team the way that they did. What were the players saying about that? What did Sean Payton say about that?
There was a lot of confusion. I do know that there were group texts. There were conversations being had from players who did not agree with what Drew Brees had to say. They were trying to come up with how they wanted to approach Drew Brees. I know some of the veteran players that are very close to him, they had conversations with him. So I think the good here is there's been communication. They may not all be on the same page right now, but this team is in line with an understanding that they have to talk. And it seems that that is what's going to get accomplished today.
All right, Diana, stay close because we have one of Drew Brees' teammates confirmed to join us in just a couple of moments. I'm told that DeMario Davis is going to join us here live in just a few moments on Get Up. He's been a teammate of Drew Brees, as you see there, for the last several seasons. And he will join us with his reaction to Drew Brees' apology in just a few moments. It's on Get Up on ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We're back on Get Up on ESPN, and NFL superstar Drew Brees is facing backlash after he told Yahoo Finance that he will, quote, never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America yesterday, end quote. This was in reference to NFL players kneeling during the anthem to protest police brutality. Drew Brees has released a lengthy apology on Instagram this morning, and joining us now is one of his teammates in New Orleans, linebacker DeMario Davis, who has been playing there with Brees for the last two seasons. DeMario, thank you very much for doing this morning. I know that you have read and heard Drew's apology from this morning. What is your reaction to what he said today?
Well, you know, my first response to it, this is, you know, it would be a huge disservice for us to have millions of people in American streets and a global cry around the world going on right now around racism in America, police brutality, systematic injustice, specifically against Black people right now. And for us to take the time to just address you know, one man and his statement and his statements. I think we've done that before. We've allowed the conversation to move away from the issue to somebody's stance on the issue or things that detract away from what we really need to be addressing. And that's the state of Black people in America. If you would look at Malcolm Jenkins' response, I think that's where the pain and the anguish of the Black community can really be seen and really be felt. Here's somebody who you can see the full emotions of 400 years of oppression in this country that Black people have had to face. And that's why there's a global outcry right now. That's why people are marching in the streets of all different backgrounds, of all different cultures, united and saying we have to address this. And so if we allow ourselves to be taken away from the issue, then that's going to be on all of us, not just one man. That's going to be on all of us. Well, what I will say about Drew, the reason that I was upset, you know, people were upset the first time was because he didn't speak towards racism. And he didn't speak towards the plight of the Black community. And that's what we had hoped he would have elaborated on the first time. But what I can say is Drew showed the ultimate move of a leader. He owned his mistake. He owned his mistake and he moved the conversation back to the issue, which he should have spoke on the first time. That's the essence of a leader. And I think that's a model for all of America, especially this America that's not of color, because that has been the sentiment in America for the longest. And it's missing the point. Black people have been crying for far longer than George Floyd's death, and has gone dramatically unheard. And when you see Drew Brees come out and say, you know what, I missed the point, but now I understand my mistake, and now I'm going to do everything I can to learn from my Black brothers, learn from the Black community, and use the resources that I have to help the Black community. I think that's the model of leadership, and that's what needs to be modeled and reflected throughout America.
I fully understand and appreciate your initial thought there, that this is about something far larger than Drew Brees. It was always about something far larger than the national anthem and all the rest of that. I fully understanding that. But I do feel it is important on a sports show for me to ask you how you anticipate this affecting the relationships that Drew has with the players on your team and how it might impact your team going forward.
Well, I think everybody in the locker room knows the character of Drew Brees, and Drew is a man of action, far beyond words, and that's what's needed in this moment to bring, you know, unity and to fix this issue that's plagued our country for so long. As for me, you know, we all wanted to see, you know, what Drew's stance was on this particular issue. You know, we all could assume what it is, but now he has came out and made it clear what his stance is. That's all I need. But before he made his stance, you know, Drew had already reached out to me about, you know, wanting to know more about the Players Coalition and how he could be involved, you know, wanting to know more about this social justice group that Ms. Benson is forming and how he can get involved. He reached out to me about the mask that I'm selling, and the proceeds are going to the families of the Floyd and Arbery, and said he wants to buy a bunch for, you know, different families, for a bunch for different churches that he supports. And that money will go to the family. So his actions have always spoke before his words. Now, his wording wasn't clear, and he came out and said it. He owned it, you know, and admitted where he messed up. But get this. All of America has to do that. All of America can follow Drew's model and say, hey, we messed up. We got it wrong. We did not hear your cry. We were insensitive to you guys saying, hey, we're dying in the streets and nobody's doing anything about it. That's why millions of people are in the streets right now. Not just Black people, people of all different backgrounds, all different cultures saying, hey, we stand with you. Black lives have been overlooked and mistreated and been mistreated unfairly in America for too long. And it's time for us to address the issue. And what we can't allow ourselves is to go back to the way things were. You know, we're here now, all people united, working together to bring a solution to the problem. And we have to stay focused on the issue. And if anything, I would say America can learn a lot from what Drew did.
I would like to underline something, Damari, that you just said, and we can put the graphic up. I'm told Damari was donating proceeds from his Man of God mask sales to families of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, and there's a website, 56manofgod.com, where you can order those. And Demario, I very much appreciate it. I know this is a difficult time. Thank you very much for doing this morning. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, man. Be blessed.
It's Demario Davis of the New Orleans Saints. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back in a moment with more coverage of a story that extends well beyond, obviously, the framework of football. We'll continue here on Get Up ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
We are back on Get Up, and this story this morning, Florida State defensive lineman Marvin Wilson is disputing quotes attributed to head coach Mike Norvell about how he reached out to each player over the weekend to discuss George Floyd and the events that followed. Earlier this week, Norvell reportedly said he, quote, went back and forth individually with every player, but Marvin Wilson tweeted that did not happen. He tweets, man, this did not happen. We got a generated text that was sent to everybody. There was no one-on-one talk between us and coach. This is a lie, and me and my teammates as a whole are outraged, and we will not be working out until further notice. It's my understanding that Florida State is in, the players are in a team meeting as we speak, but I want to bring Paul Feinbaum in here for a moment. Paul, what's your reaction to what's going on there at Florida State?
So it's fairly shocking, Greeny. I mean, remember, Mike Norvell came from Memphis. This is his first year. He took over for Willie Taggart, who failed to follow Jimbo Fisher. And I can't think of a worse beginning for a coach. And again, I want to hear, and I think we all want to hear from Norvell. He has a really good reputation as a football coach. But if this is true, this is a cataclysmic beginning at an inflection point time in history when you would just make something up to try to look like you're keeping up with everyone else. I mean, I'm quite shocked to hear the story so far.
Again, there should be more coming on this, we would imagine, soon, as the Seminoles, I'm told, are in a team meeting. Quickly, Paul, while I just have you for a moment, you speak to so many people every single day on your radio show, which is very popular. I'm just curious, what are you hearing? What are sports fans that are calling into your show right now talking about?
We're talking about the same issues that you're talking about, Greeny. And what I'm hearing, and clearly our show is based in the South. That was the genesis of the program. But I'm hearing a lot of people listening for the first time. Instead of just bloviating about what they think and what they were taught 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we're listening. And it's been an extraordinary couple of weeks. And you don't want anything like this to happen. This is a national tragedy of epic proportions. But it's also been, there has been some positivity on a call-in program that usually talks about college football.
It's interesting to hear. Paul, thank you very much. Well, we'll talk further as we get more information on this story at Florida State and more. Meanwhile, I want to mention that tonight on ESPN's Look Back at the Greatest College Football Games Ever, it's a top 10 showdown from 94. It's Cordell Stewart in Colorado. It's the Miracle at Michigan. You'll see it tonight, 7 Eastern, on ESPN and the ESPN app. We will start a new hour of Get Up in just a few moments with Stephen A. Smith amongst those who will share his thoughts on the latest involving Drew Brees, the reaction of LeBron James, and much more. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
We are back on Get Up. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were among several members of the Warriors organization to participate in Oakland's Walking in Unity protest march yesterday. It was one that was swung by another member of the Warriors team. In an Instagram post yesterday, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott pledged $1 million to improve police training and address systemic racism through education and advocacy in our country. Meanwhile, here's Coco Gauff reflecting.
I demand change now. And it's sad that it takes another black man's life to be lost for all of this to happen. But we have to understand that this has been going on for years. This is not just about George Floyd. This is about Trayvon Martin. This is about Eric Garner. This is about Breonna Taylor. This is about stuff that's been happening. I was 8 years old when Trayvon Martin was killed. So why am I here at 16 still demanding change?
The words of Coco Gauff there. Meanwhile, the Missouri football team honored George Floyd yesterday by kneeling for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Then over 60 players marched to the county courthouse to register to vote as part of the team's call to action following Floyd's death. And with that, it is just about 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. We welcome you to Get Up on ESPN. It's a very busy morning. And of course, our top story of the day reverberating within the world of sports for the last 24 hours or thereabouts and well beyond. NFL superstar Drew Brees facing backlash from so many different corners after his controversial comments to Yahoo Finance yesterday. He was asked about the possibility of players kneeling again when the NFL season starts, and this is what he said.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
Reaction yesterday was overwhelming from across the sports world and beyond. Here was LeBron James responding, "Wow, man, is it still surprising at this point? It sure isn't. You literally still don't understand why Cap was kneeling on one knee. Has absolutely nothing to do with the disrespect of and our soldiers, men and women, who keep our land free. My father-in-law was one of those men who fought as well for this country. I asked him question about it and thank him all the time for his commitment. He never found Cap peaceful protest offensive because he and I both know what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. God bless you." And then there was more reaction yesterday, from including Drew Brees' teammate Malcolm Jenkins in a video he posted on Instagram, which he has subsequently deleted.
Our communities are under siege, and we need help. And what you're telling us is, don't ask for help that way. Ask for a different way. I can't listen to it when you ask that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those and push them throughout the world, the airways, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Again, that was a post that he subsequently deleted, but Malcolm Jenkins was not done. He did post another emotional video to Instagram a short time later.
Juwan, unfortunately, you're somebody who doesn't understand their privilege. You don't understand the potential that you have to actually be an advocate for the people that you call brothers. You don't understand the history and why people like me, people with my skin color, whose grandfather fought for this country, who served, and I still protested against that, not against the national anthem, but against what was happening in America and what the fabric of this country is for, or stands for. If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you. Then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bullshit, it's just lip service, or it's only on the field. Because when we step off of this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Drew, where is the place, Drew?
So that was Malcolm Jenkins yesterday. As we came on the air this morning, so about an hour and a half ago, Drew Brees wrote this apology on Instagram. I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I've caused. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth and is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. This is where I stand. I stand with the black community in the fight against systemic racial injustice and police brutality and support the creation, the creation of real policy change that will make a difference. I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout our black communities and still exists today. I acknowledge that we Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community. I recognize that I am part of the solution and can be a leader for the black community in this movement. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right. I've always been an ally, never an enemy. I'm sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening. And when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask your forgiveness. I'm sure many have tuned in this morning with the intention of seeing First Take. First Take, we've all moved our schedule a bit this week. So First Take will start in about 25 minutes, and you will see Stephen A. Smith there, of course, with Max and company. And Stephen A. is with us now, so is Tim Hasselbeck and Lewis Riddick, who joins us. And Stephen A., I will start with you. It has obviously been a very long 24 hours or thereabouts, and we just read the entire apology from Drew Brees, which came out this morning. I'd love to hear your reaction to all of it.
Well, first of all, I think that I'm gonna start off by giving him credit for walking back those comments, because it was incredibly shocking to me that somebody that had done so much for the New Orleans community post Hurricane Katrina, who's done so much for that community out there in New Orleans, would come across as so tone deaf. And when you hear or when you heard people in the streets chanting what they were chanting about Drew Brees yesterday, it was very, very predictable in light of what he had said, because, again, the tone deafness was incredibly alarming. There was a lack of empathy. It was a lack of sensitivity. It was clear and flagrant ignorance on his part. And these are the kind of words that anybody that has spoken to Drew Brees, anybody that has watched him articulate his thoughts on a plethora of different issues, would never have accused him of being. Now, I was reminded by some people who know him, last night, that this guy, you got to take into account his family, military background, how he's been indoctrinated in that regard, and how that may play a role in him saying some of the things that he said, because clearly we weren't talking about the flag or alluding to anything about Colin Kaepernick when we talked about what has transpired in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. So how Drew Brees would go to that place is still a huge, huge question mark to me. But in the end, the bottom line is he had no business saying what he said. I think that he's hurt his reputation incredibly so, and I'm saddened by it, because I believe that Drew Brees has consistently been one of the better representatives coming out of the NFL family that we've seen in the modern era, in terms of how he's carried himself, his level of sensitivity, the kind of things that he's done in the community, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, that wasn't what made news yesterday. He made news for all the wrong reasons yesterday. And I think that's why you saw the tears coming from Malcolm Jenkins, along with teammates speaking out against him, which is something we would have never predicted, because people were utterly, utterly shocked that Drew Brees, of all people, would say something like that, particularly at a time like this.
Lewis Riddick, you were with me live when we first got that Instagram post. I literally read it on the air in its entirety and then came right to you. Now that you've had an hour and a half or so to sort of digest it, if you will, and have heard some of the other comments that have been made here today, I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yeah, you know, I keep thinking about what DeMario Davis was saying in regards to how, you know, he respects Drew Brees and how he knows Drew Brees and what people inside that locker room think about Drew, and how he referenced the fact that, look, this is what leaders do. Leaders, first and foremost, exercise a high degree of and display a high degree of accountability when they are obviously faced with the fact that maybe they made a mistake and that they did not show the appropriate levels of empathy and awareness about a situation such as this, which obviously is gripping our entire nation. And he commended Drew for that. And I commend Drew for that. But see, this is really now, you know, going forward, this isn't about statements anymore. And I'm going to continue to say that the time to transition from making statements to really now enacting tangible action has come, to really putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak. And Drew has done that. Drew has done that on many different issues. He has put literally his money and a significant amount of his money, you know, where his mouth is. And he has stood up and he has tried to make a difference and make a positive, impactful difference in different areas of his life, in different areas of the world overall that don't necessarily affect him directly on a day-to-day basis. So I think the disappointment comes from the fact that in Drew's initial comments, it sounded like he was just talking about him. He made it just about him and his feelings at a time where right now, as Malcolm so eloquently put, people are looking for help. The black community is looking for help. So can we make it about us right now? Can we make it about what you can do in order to help us, in order to aid us, so we can have a sense of normalized equality? Normalized equality to where it's not about protest. It's not about talking about legislation, that it's not about talking about changing the culture surrounding how people look at us as a race in this country. Can we somehow make it about that? Can we keep it about that for right now? Can we please? And then can we keep it about that in the future as well? And Drew's initial statements seemed as though he was insensitive to that. He wasn't aware of that and didn't care about that. And I don't think anybody, you know, as Stephen A. just said, I don't think anybody ever really, people don't expect that from Drew, given what his reputation is in the league and how people revere him and how his own teammates revere and respect him, as they have also stated. That's why this hits different. That's why it hits different, and that's why I think people are stepping up who know him the best, who have been around him the most, are sitting there going, really? And so I'm going to give Drew, and I think everyone else is going to give Drew, who knows him personally, who has been around him, are going to give him the chance to now have that positive impact, to go ahead and put his money where his mouth is, and to make a difference as he says he wants to do. And that's what it's going to come down to for everybody going forward. Not about statements. What about tangible impact? What are you doing?
Perhaps that begins today. The Saints had a team meeting scheduled already. It was not scheduled in regard to this matter, but Diana Rossini telling us that obviously anything they had planned to discuss will go by the wayside now, and they'll talk about this. So, Tim Hasselbeck, we all understand that these are issues that extend well beyond and are far greater than anything involving football, but this is a sports show, and so I guess I would ask you, how you expect this to affect them? They're going to come together as a team today. I asked DeMario Davis this question. How does this team go about trying to put this back together again, something that feels yesterday as though it was significantly fractured?
Yeah, well, Greeny, we talked about that last hour, and, you know, in my reaction at the time was, you know, because Drew's initial comments, it really showed no empathy in terms of, you know, what his teammates and other members around the league were going through. And because there was no empathy in that, it caused such a feeling of betrayal and hurt. And, since that point, there's been an apology from Drew that did express some empathy. And and I watched that interview that you had with DeMario Davis. And the thing I would just say is, wow, like that right there was an example of grace and forgiveness. That's incredible. That really like shows the best of humanity to see the way that DeMario Davis probably was wounded the way that Malcolm Jenkins was wounded. But to come on your show after that apology and say, the things that he said about Drew Brees. And so, you know, like, look, my reaction would be, wow, this is going to be hard to repair inside a locker room. But if there are people with kind of the heart for forgiveness as DeMario Davis has, that's incredible. And that leads to not just guys being better teammates, but coming together as men and having our society be better.
Now, I keep hearing the words, Stephen A., uncomfortable conversation. That is what I have seen, the words that I've seen used all over the place. And this obviously will be that for Drew Brees today, we would imagine. But DeMario Davis said one thing that really stuck with me, and that is he did not want to allow this moment to become about Drew Brees, as famous as he is. He did not want this in the same way that I think so many people did not want Colin Kaepernick's protest to become about the flag or to become about the military, because that's not what they were about. So how do we make sure that doesn't happen? How do we make sure that we continue, Stephen A., beyond this moment where it is on everyone's mind, having the uncomfortable conversations that are necessary to actually do something about this?
By being receptive to those who appear to be sincere when they say they want to help. Give them an opportunity to do just that, as opposed to shoving them aside because they had a very stupid and an ignorant moment and they expressed themselves in a way that they should not have. I think everybody deserves their opportunity to correct themselves if indeed they're willing to do so. And I want to direct a statement to you, Greeny, to you, Tim, and to every white person out there that's listening right now. You know something? When you don't think like some of, when we talk about systemic racism and prejudice and oppression and things of that nature, if you're not of that mindset and you don't think like that, then don't worry about it. And what I mean by that is don't worry about how people are going to react to you. If you know your heart is in the right place, and you're willing to put forth a concerted effort on behalf of what is right, particularly as it pertains to a disenfranchised community, then you have very little to worry about. I personally believe, I don't know, but based on my experiences as a black man on this earth for 52 years, I find that one of the things that's incredibly alarming is that you have a lot of white folks who don't do wrong, but they personalize things when people are talking about systemic oppression and systemic racism and things of that nature. Well, if your heart's in the right place and you're willing to help in getting things right and doing the right things, we're not talking about you. We're talking about those going up against those who really endorse and promote oppression and prejudice and racism. If you're not about that, then you're on the right side. And if you're on the right side, you have absolutely, positively nothing to worry about. And any black person that has a problem with somebody whose heart, whose actions, and whose soul is in the right place, they're the ones who are wrong, not you. And that's what I would like white folks in America to recognize, personally.
I want to make sure I understand what you're saying there. When you say personalize, when the subject of systemic oppression comes up and you're suggesting white people try to, what do you mean by personalize?
What I mean by that is that when we're having that uncomfortable conversation, what makes it uncomfortable is that you find that some white folks that you might be talking to in an effort to express yourself, they embrace it as if you're talking about them. If I'm talking about Greeny, I know Greeny, I know Tim. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody who really does engage in prejudice and racism and things of that nature. If you are a good, decent person who happens to be white and you care about fairness and you care about equality, I'm not talking about you. So don't personalize it to a point where it becomes an uncomfortable conversation for you. Embrace the conversation because I'm talking about them. If somebody in a very innocuous manner, if somebody sat up there and say, well, you know what? This person comes to work. He happens to be black. And oh, my God, he comes to work late about 50 times a year. You ain't talking about me. You're not talking about black people. You're talking about him. That particular person that shows up late all the time. I don't generalize it and believe, oh, my God, they're talking about anybody who's black. You talk about him. And I think that's what all of us need to recognize. Don't personalize it like they're talking about you because they're complaining about somebody who may share your hue and pigmentation. It doesn't make them you if your heart and soul is in the right place. That's what I'm trying to say.
I understand. I have to leave it there because we have to get ready for First Take. They are coming up again. Our schedule a little shifted here on ESPN, but First Take is coming up in about 11 minutes. Guys, thank you all very much for being here this morning and sharing all of these thoughts. And I want to mention again, First Take on the way, and they will have much more reaction to Drew Brees, his comments, his apology, and what the fallout has been and will be moving forward. They follow us at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by DiGiorno. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. Saturday night, UFC 250 is live on pay-per-view. You will see Amanda Nunes, the UFC's top pound-for-pound female fighter, defending her featherweight belt against Felicia Spencer in the main event that Saturday night at 10 Eastern. We'll have Dana White on this program tomorrow to look ahead. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Meanwhile, today is a very important day for the NBA. The league's Board of Governors are scheduled to vote on Adam Silver's 22-team return-to-play plan during a conference call scheduled for 12:30 Eastern time. And for a look ahead at what to expect, here's our insider Brian Windhorst. Wendy, what is the most important thing that a basketball fan needs to be thinking about today as we work our way towards this?
Well, we have 7 weeks now between now and the start of the NBA season. You may not get all of the answers that you want. You may not understand everything that's going on. Guess what? The league and the players don't either. This is going to be a process. We're not going to have everything settled. But the most important thing is we now have a countdown to the return of the NBA. And circle your calendars for October, because that is when the NBA Finals will take place and a champion will be crowned. And that, in a time of great upheaval and disappointment in this country, is good news.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, it also will create a domino effect that will spill over one way or another into next season. But we look forward to going on this journey with you, Wendy, as we work our way towards whatever comes up next in the NBA. So thank you very much for that. It's obviously been a remarkable day here. We thank you for being with us, and we will be back on ESPN tomorrow morning, 8:30 Eastern. We will see you then.